Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I am going to start out this morning by going to 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to talk about this subject, keeping faith out front. Keeping faith out front. You know, in your yard, you put the nice things out front, right? Amen. You know what I'm saying? That's where you do. Most people don't landscape their backyard, right? Their front yard, because that's what you see, right? Out back's your old 67 Chevy, the old refrigerator, the couch. Of course, unless you're from the part of the country I came from, the couch is out front, man. It's on the porch. The dog loves it, man.
Yeah.
He'd bite you if you moved it. You know, every car you ever had, you know, it's out there because you need it for parts, right? How many ever been in that part of southern Indiana?
Come on now.
Come on. How many are from that part of southern Indiana? Come on. You know you are, Pastor Chuck. What do you, you know? Amen. You know, it's not uncommon to see some of the old couch, man. You don't have it hauled off. You put it out there to sit on in the summertime, bro. Hallelujah. And your faith ought to be out front. It shouldn't be hid in the backyard, right? Buried. You know, because people ought to know you're a Christian.
Amen.
You know, they shouldn't have to find out after you died and go to your funeral. I didn't even know the guy went to church.
Come on.
Amen. I mean, there's no doubt when I leave Sunday morning, you know, just like this morning, you know, I rolled down my window and spoke to a guy. You know, I'm a talker to people. You know, I just am, you know, unless they give me that cold thing like shut up, and then I'll know they're disconnected and leave them alone. But guys walk, I just roll down my window, start talking to him, you know, and all. But, you know, when they see you come out on Sunday morning dressed up like this, they know, man, that's a church guy. But, you know, it shouldn't just be our dress tells them we're church people or leaving on Sunday morning. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because there's people out there every day, man, that need to hear about the Lord. You know what I'm talking about? And, you know, you can just, it's if you let the Holy Ghost lead you, he'll use anything. I always love one story Dr. Barclay told one time. He was at a gas station pumping gas, and this guy's over there. Of course, today everybody runs because it's coronavirus, you know. They'll hit the deck, man. I mean, you can't have the least little bit of head cold or everybody's running from you, you know, coronavirus, you know. And but anyway, so Doc steps over. He goes, man, that's a bad cough. He goes, yeah, it'll probably kill me. And Doc says, I don't doubt that. The guy goes, are you a doctor? He said, of sorts. He said, and I've got a feeling when you die, you're going to hell. The guy said, excuse me? He said, I didn't tell you to go to hell. I just said, I thought you might be going to hell. Well, I've heard about hell. I didn't know it was real. Oh, yeah. Led him to the Lord. Because the guy's having a coffin spell. I figure the Holy Ghost can use about anything. Amen. See, our faith needs to be out in front in our life. Amen. You know, if we believe something, then we ought to believe it. Not be ashamed of it. I believe in speaking in tongues. I'm not ashamed of it. Now, there's a lot of people that don't believe in it. Well, you don't have to do it. That's up to you. But see, I read in my Bible that it's still valid for today. I don't find any scripture that ever says it passed away. I find a scripture where people say, you know, tongues shall cease. Well, shall and have is two different things, folks.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. One of these days, I'm going to cease walking on this earth.
Amen.
I haven't yet. And I'm not planning on it anytime real soon. So, you know, I mean, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of divine healing. I believe in divine healing. Now, I know people say, well, God heals who he, you know, you just never tell, can never tell what God's going to do. He might heal some, he might not. Well, I find that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says pray the prayer of faith. How could you have any faith if God does sometimes and sometimes he don't? How would you ever know? How could you ever have faith in that? Amen. You know, if Dustin wanted to take my truck and wash it, and his dad tells him, well, sometimes he brings it back and sometimes he doesn't, you know. I mean, I'm not letting the guy take it. I don't have any faith in him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, his dad would have experience. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like my little brother did one time. You know, he comes out and you know, He gets the takes off, and you know, he asked how did this go? He asked Dad. He told Dad, Mom told him he could have the car. He takes off in the car, and Mom comes out and says, why'd you let him have the car? Well, he told me that you told him he could have it. See, you know what I mean? So you can't have any confidence in a person like that, right? I mean, you know, well, if God's that way where, you know, one time he might heal you, and the next time he might say, well, just suffer. Well, how could you ever pray the prayer of faith? Let's just get real about this. This is just religion that's been preached to us. Hallelujah. Either he's true to his word or just forget it, man. You know what I'm saying? Like one person told me one time, you know, they were of a different persuasion and I was talking to them and, you know, and they said, well, you know, I asked them, so what do you believe about Jesus? Well, I believe he was a good man. I believe he was a prophet. I believe he was sent from God. That's all good stuff. I believe he was a good man. I believe he was a prophet. I believe he was sent from God. And I said, do you believe he's the Son of God, the only way to heaven? Well, no, I don't believe that. I said, well, then he's not a good man. He's not a good prophet. If what you're saying is true, he's a liar because he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I'm not falling for this baloney that some of the church is falling for right now, that there might be more than one way. No, if there's more than one way, then we ain't even in the way, man.
That's right.
Are you with me? See, the early church, this was called the way. You know why it was called the way? Because it was the way. Amen. You know, there's just one way to get to heaven. That's what Jesus said. So I'm gonna trust him, man. I don't care how goofed up the church is getting, how goofed up the world is getting, you don't have to get goofed up with them. Well, we just need to be open-minded. Yeah, your brains are falling out. Really? Amen. See, that's being pushed on the church. You know, we need to be more open-minded, Pastor. You're just old school. Yeah. No, I am the school. It's not old school. It's the school. It's called the Bible, right? Amen. So we just got to stick with it. Amen? Amen. Now, did you find 1 John?
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk to you. Now, that's just one area. I want to talk to you about some areas where, you know, we need to keep our faith out in front. Praise God. 1 John chapter 4, go there. Chapter 5. You got it? Verse 4 says, but for whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Is that you? You born of God? How many born of God people I have in here today? All right, then automatically, by default, you're a world overcomer. That's what the Bible says. But then it tells us how we do it. It says, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Say, I overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, that word victory, one of the meanings of it, it means the means of success. So this is the means of success whereby we overcome the world, even our faith. It's our faith that overcomes the world. You know, and all that's going on out in the world, you know, all the sickness and the tragedy and the disease and the destruction. Our faith overcomes that.
Right.
Hallelujah. I like, you know, there's, you know, there's a difference. There's different, there's more than one Bible translation. How many figured that out? I didn't know that when I got saved. You know, I knew about the King James. And I still use the King James. I started off on the King James. I love the King James. It's a good Bible version. It's very accurate, really. And so, but there's others out there. Now, there are some that are translations, which means they take the Greek word or the Hebrew word and they translate it into an appropriate English word. And, you know, it could, you know, that's why sometimes you'll see a little differences in Bible, because the King James will use some of the old English words that we don't use today. But then there's others that are paraphrases. Now, what a paraphrase is, it's a guy who's telling you what he thinks it says. He's not translating it. And as long as you leave it in that vein and understand that's what it is, it's not something you want to build your life on or build your study time around. It's something that may enhance what's being said. But there's one called the Message. And sometimes the Message says things, you know, that are so funny. And really, you know, I thought, I like that. You know, it's like what the Bible says in Isaiah 1:19, where it says, you know, if you're willing and obedient, you'll live like kings. I think the Message says something like, if you're willing and be obedient, you'll feast like kings. If you don't, you'll die like dogs. That rests with me. I understand that. But here's what the Message says about 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And let me just say this to you about Bible translations. I've studied the Greek and Hebrew for years. I've been doing it for 40 years almost. So you know, I mean, you know, there's some things that I know. And that's why, you know, I just say some of these paraphrases, you just got to watch them because they don't stick with the original. But it's still good sometimes. Listen to this. Where the King James says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The Message Bible says, the conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. I want to say that again. I like that. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. Now, that's not what the original Greek says, but that is what it says. You understand what I'm saying? It's telling you what John said, just saying it in a different way. Amen. So the world is brought to its knees by our faith. Ooh, I love that. Hallelujah. You know what? Listen, man, I'm telling you what. Now, here's what I learned. And we've talked about this guy before Pastor Chuck knew him. Pastor Chuck and I went to the same high school together. And so we knew this guy. And Pastor Chuck remembers his name was Lonnie. Yeah, Lonnie. And we knew Lonnie. I knew Lonnie. I didn't know Pastor. I don't think we knew one another then. You know, but yet we both knew Lonnie. Everybody knew Lonnie. I'll tell you why everybody knew Lonnie. Because Lonnie was bold in his faith. I mean, I feared Lonnie more than I feared the roughest guy in the school. I mean, I'm liable to fight the roughest guy in the school just to prove he can beat me up. You know, make him prove it. You know what I'm saying? But when Lonnie, I'm not kidding you. I remember in a particular incident, I'm walking down the hall, you know, I look up here comes Lonnie. Uh-oh, I'm going over here. Because I knew Lonnie intimidated me. Now, it wasn't that Lonnie intimidated me. It's the fact that Lonnie had a message that's the power of God. See, the Bible says the gospel is the power of God. And when you go out there, you got to realize the message I've got is the power of God. And this power will cause demons to tremble. It'll cause sinners to get right or flee. Amen. It's the power of God, and nothing can stop the gospel. But if you're going to just put your faith in the backyard and toss it out there so nobody sees it, then you're not going to have any power about you. Come on. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and of my words in this wicked and sinful generation, I'll be ashamed of you before the angels and the Father. So, you know, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. He saved me. He delivered me. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I know where I was headed. I know where I was bound with. And I know the day I met him, he changed everything. Hallelujah. So I'm not ashamed of Jesus, praise God. And I'm not changing my message because, you know, we're evolving, you know. I mean, come on, Pastor, get with it. You know, things are evolving, you know. I mean, gosh, I mean, you know, we don't even know whether you're a male or a female until you decide. Come on, Pastor, where are you at? I still got my brain securely intact. Come on now. Listen, buddy, I've been through puberty, all of it. I know a female when I see a female. And if you don't, come on. I'm not being crude. I'm just telling the truth. God made women and men different. And if you don't understand that, then I don't know. I don't know. We need to pray for you. We're not mad at you. We don't even hate you. You know, really, the truth of the matter is Christians are the only people, true Christians, that you can do them dirty, do them wrong, and do things they don't like, and they'll still love you and pray for you. Your liberal friends won't do that. They'll spit on you, cuss you, and use foul language about you. So don't give me this idea about we're the bigots, we're the haters. We're not the bigots, we're not the haters, we're the truth tellers. Are you with me now? Well, you just need to have a little more grace. No, I need to have a little more grace and truth. Not just grace. So that's what the church wants today. Let's just have grace. No, let's have grace and truth. Jesus Christ is grace and truth. Not just grace, not just truth, but grace and truth. That means he'll tell you the truth and give you some grace to live it. And when you mess up, he'll be merciful and give you grace. But he won't change the truth for you. The truth's the truth. And in the beginning, God made a male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. In other words, you know, I mean, Adam's going along, man. Amen. God brings all those animals by him, you know. You know what I'm saying? He names all the animals. And it's like, I think it's almost like God was trying to see if one of these would work for him or something. You know, if he might like one of them. And it didn't work. And God, remember, you read there in Genesis, it said God brought all the animals, and there wasn't a help meet found for Adam. Wasn't one helper suitable for him. And he made woman. Amen. And Adam named her. Wow! Man! I mean, he noticed there was some difference there, didn't he? Right? God did that on purpose so men would be attracted to men, and then he made women. See, there you go. Pastor's falling for the culture already. What was it? I did that one night. One night I was preaching at this church, and I put the keys of death and hell in the hands of Apollyon. Remember that night? Nobody says anything to me. They just let me be stupid and don't say a word. I'm thank God my wife says something. And afterwards, the pastor and I were having a meal together. He goes, did you know that you gave the keys of death and hell to Apollyon tonight? I said, I'm getting them back tomorrow night before he does much damage. Men are supposed to be attracted to women. Women are supposed to be attracted to men. Yeah, I just hate it that now in church we have to leave the word and teach, you know, science 101 and health and everything else. But the church has got so stupid now, as a pastor, you got to get up and be a biology teacher also. So you didn't have to teach these things before, but now you do. Everybody just knew it. Now, why in the world America is letting a handful of people turn us into nuts, I don't understand it. You know, but the truth of it is, it's because it's just the signs of the time. It's the devil. You know, it's demonic. And, you know, eventually we're going to get kicked off Facebook if I keep saying this stuff. But anyway, that's all right. It's coming anyway, brothers and sisters. You might as well get ready for that. So anyway, we don't going to change the truth, just stay on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, then, you know, we're too small. They don't care about us, but you get a little bit bigger. You know, it's like the IRS. And until you start taking a lot of money, they don't even care about you, what you do. So go out and burn the backyard for all we care. But you get big enough, then they want to know, you know what I'm saying? So, all right. Now, where were we at?
I don't know.
Boy, she's sassy today, I'm telling you. First John Chad, thank you. Amen. How many know that we ought to be bold about our faith, about what we believe?
Absolutely.
I mean, see, here's the thing about, you know, I'm talking about bold about Jesus Christ, but bold about what we believe out of the Bible.
Yes, amen.
See, things, you know, here's what I've learned. A confession's good, but a bold confession's better.
Absolutely.
A bold one. When you're bold about it. Amen? Now, so he said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So it's our faith. We need, if our faith is that powerful, we need to take care of our faith. We need to feed our faith. Amen. You know, and not just a bunch of candy. Are you with me now? I'm so glad when I first got saved. I hadn't been saved just in 2 weeks. I hadn't been saved 2 weeks, and this guy gives me, it was cassettes in those days, a cassette series by Brother Hagin. I'll tell you, that revolutionized my life, man. I mean, you know, now the church I was going to, of course, I've only been there 2 weeks, so I haven't heard much preaching yet, you know what I'm saying. But they, you know, well, you've heard my pastor preach, right? All right, he can preach. All right. But yet, you know, I mean, in 2 weeks' time, you don't care how good a pastor you are, you haven't had time to break down all this stuff for somebody out there who just got saved. But when they gave me Brother Hagin's cassette tapes, I'm like, man, where have I been? I mean, that's what I thought, you know. And then I found out there was a guy by the name of Copeland, you know, and he was doing a lot of teaching those days, and I listened to his and I thought, wow, you know. He's preaching Brother Hagin's messages. And somebody ought to tell Brother Hagin. You know, Brother Hagin said, Brother Copeland said one time, he said, I was getting ready to preach at a meeting, and they told me, said, Brother Hagin's going to be there. He said, oh, no. He said, I'm preaching his message tonight. He said, so I'm digging for another message. You ever hear him tell that story? It's funny. He said, I'm digging for another message. And he said, the Lord said, don't you change your message over any man. He said, so I got up and preached that message. And he said, when I sat down, he said, they had set Brother Hagin up on the platform, you know. He said, I sat down by Brother Hagin. He said, Brother Hagin leaned over to me and said, you could at least change the title. But you know, Brother Hagin didn't feel that way about people preaching his message. He wanted people to. Billy Brim used to work for Brother Hagin. Have you ever heard of her? She said one time, you know, they caught a guy, and it was Brother Copeland. But, you know, he wasn't known then. But they caught him, and they got the tapes. They got the evidence, and they took him to Brother Hagin. And they said, Brother Hagin, there's a guy in Texas preaching your messages. We've got the evidence right here. Here it is. He's preaching your messages. They thought Brother Hagin was going to be upset. They said they looked up, and he had tears in his eyes. I said, thank God somebody's finally getting it. Hallelujah. How many of this, if it's the Bible, how many know it isn't Brother Hagin's message? It isn't Brother so-and-so's message. It isn't pastor's message. It's Jesus' message. It's the Word of God. Amen. And so instead of letting people think for us, we need to get in our Bibles and let the Holy Spirit teach us. You know, because people get caught in religious and get taught, you know, all kinds of things like this has passed away, that's passed away, miracles passed away, God doesn't heal anymore, he might heal, he might not, it's just up to him. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you look in his ministry and you follow the ministry of Jesus and none of the healings per se were up to him. They were usually up to the people. And if we have time, we're going to read one of those scriptures. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Come on, you getting something today? Yeah. Ephesians chapter 6. He's talking about putting your faith out in front. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, he died for you. Glory to God. What do I care what some hell-bound pagan thinks? I'm to love them and share the gospel with them. But why do I care what they think? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, sometimes you get people to come. I've had this happen as a pastor. People come in off the street. First church service they've ever been to, and they want to tell you how you should do things. I don't care what you think. I'm not being mean, but I don't even know you. Why do I care what you think? Get out of here. I feel a little punchy today. Amen. Some of you don't like it. But anyway, I feel a little punchy today. Yeah, well, listen, I'm just being honest. Why do I care what somebody that doesn't even come here thinks? If you come here and I love you and you say, I'm not sure you love me, Pastor. You're not. No, I love you. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not responsible for everybody and what they think. If you can't live your life by what people think. Amen. Amen. Well, I think, well, help yourself. But, you know, I'm not responsible. Amen. Let me know that. For what you think, I'm responsible, amen, for what the Lord thinks. How many know that? I don't mean that disrespectful, but you know what I'm saying, and not arrogant. I listen to other people, amen. I take advice, but I'm just saying you can't live your life based on what you think people are going to think about it. There's times the devil messes with me on messages I'm going to preach. Well, I wouldn't preach that. Now, he doesn't say, I'm the devil telling you this. You know, but I hear those voices, you know. I mean, it's not like he knocks on your door and says, hey, I got some advice for you today. I'm the devil. Don't preach that. You know, and I told one story that Pastor told, because I guess I heard him tell it wrong. I'm going to tell it right this morning, because I heard him tell it just the other day, and it was a lot more exciting than the way I tell it. Oh, my gosh, I'll let you tell us from now on instead of me telling your story. Well, you know, he told a story one time about how he was going to preach on tithing in the morning. It's Saturday night. He's going to preach on tithing in the morning. All right. So this couple calls him and says, look, Pastor, we finally are getting my Aunt Martha to come to church. And she does not like preachers. And she does not like church. And she really doesn't like preachers that talk about money. So please, Pastor, could you just please not talk about money tomorrow morning? He said, you know, I thought about it. He said, I thought, you know, this is a sweet couple. They've helped me build this church. You know, maybe I could just do this to help them out. And the Lord said to him, well, you can either preach for me or Aunt Martha tomorrow. You decide. Guess what he chose? He chose to preach for. So he said, I got up, I preached on time, and he said, man, he said, I hammered it. I mean, I had you going to hell if you weren't tithing. I just ripped it. Amen. And he said, as soon as I was done, he said, man, he said, I headed straight for my office. He's got side door. He said, I headed straight for him. And he said, I've got women trained in my church. If they can see some other woman's going to accost me or something, you know, wrongly, to blockade them, you know, to, hey, how you doing today, honey? How you, you know, and they get by them, then they got to get by this next tier. And then they got to get by the third tier before they ever get the pastor, you know, and he's gone by then. So he said, I got him trained to watch out for that because there's crazy people out there. And he said, Aunt Martha blew by all three of them, man. He said, she's like running to get to me. And he said, she got to me. And she said, I don't like preachers. And I don't like churches. And I don't like preachers that preach about money. And he said, I don't know, I like you. So, and he starts to walk off. She goes, wait a minute. So he stops, and she says, I've never been told off so good in all of my life. And then she said, how much do you need? He said, what? She said, how much money do you need? He said, I didn't preach this to get money off of you or anybody else. I don't need money. And he starts to walk off. She goes, wait a minute. How much do you need? He said, lady, I didn't preach this for money. You know, true preachers don't preach it for money. They don't preach on tithing for money. They preach on tithing for your benefit, our benefit. Amen. So, you know, and smart preachers have learned a long time ago that unconvinced remain unconvinced still. You just can't convince them against their will. And so, she says, how much you need? He said, well, what are you talking about? I mean, we could be talking about $1.5 million here. It's, what do you need? I mean, to go to lunch? To run my ministry for the rest of my life? What are you talking about? Well, she said, will $25,000 do? He said, I hesitate. I stopped. And I guess she thought, well, it's not enough. She said, well, what about 35? He thought, shut up. Don't say any more. It'll keep going up. Aunt Martha, they hated, she said, I haven't tithed all of my life. She said, but I repent today. And she wrote the ministry, not the pastor himself, but she wrote the church out a check for $35,000. Good thing he didn't preach for Aunt Martha. Amen. She's still been bound. And the church had been $35,000 poorer. That's right. Are you listening now? How many know God knew what Aunt Martha needed to hear?
Yeah.
Amen. And see, there's times when I'm getting ready to preach something and the Lord said, the Lord will deal with me, preach about that. And I think, oh, I don't know if I want to preach on that. I mean, you know, no, you can't listen to that. You just got to not be ashamed of the gospel. Right. Hallelujah. Keep your faith out in front. Right. Amen. Now look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. The Bible says, you got it?
Yes.
The Bible doesn't say you got it, but do you got it? Ephesians 6, 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench how many?
All
the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, how many is all? Well, that would mean everything he fires at you, faith will quench it.
Right.
Now, notice he said above all. You know, that word above all means to be out in front. Out in front. In other words, have your faith out in front.
Amen.
Amen. See, your faith's got to be out in front of your problem.
Right. Come on now.
You know, people sometimes you don't understand that if you don't have your faith out front and you're not bold about it, it doesn't work for you.
Right.
Brother Hagin, you say what you get excited about, so that's what works for you, see. So you have to be bold about it. I don't think you have to be arrogant about it, you have to be rude about it, but you just got to be bold about it. That's what I boldly believe. Amen. You know, some things in life we boldly believe. See, here's what I've learned. People that want to argue, they don't really believe what they think they believe, or they wouldn't even be arguing about it. I mean, if I was to tell Brother Greg, I said, now, Brother Greg, bring that chair into my office. And he said, well, Pastor, that is not a chair. That's not a chair. That's a couch. I said, bro, I don't know where you come from, but where I come from, that's not a couch. That's a chair. See, we're not going to have this knockdown. I'm just going to let him be ignorant. You know, that's what the Paul said do. If anybody's ignorant, let them be ignorant still.
So, yeah,
if they want to just stay ignorant, let them stay ignorant. Yeah. So Brother Greg thinks that's a couch. You know what I'm saying? So he takes it home to Terry and says, I got you a new couch. Now she's going to straighten him out. I'm not have to. She's going to fix that for us real good. You know, that's not a couch, brother. That's not being a big couch. That's a chair. See, you, what I'm saying is when you really believe something, man, you're not shaking somebody else that doesn't believe it. I mean, I got all kinds of people don't believe in, you know, don't believe in speaking in tongues. So I speak in tongues. I get blessed by it. I get revelation from God by it. I get built up by it. It's changed my life. So you're too late to talk me out of it. Now, if you try to talk me out before I've experienced it, and that's different. Are you with me now?
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah. It's like good food, man. Anybody had some good food? Oh, man, there's this one place in our area. I mean, their hamburgers are flat out good. Y'all don't eat hamburgers. Well, glory to God. Thank you. There's more beef for me.
Amen.
I don't care if everybody becomes a vegetarian, man. Beef prices are going down. I'm going to buy beef, man. Praise God. So, man, you know what? You could have told me. Now, see, you could have told me. I mean, their hamburgers are lousy. But you know what? I went there and had one, all half pound of it. I'll tell you, brother, if you ain't talking in tongues time you're done, you ain't spiritual. That thing will flat man make a spiritual man out of you. That good hamburger. See, when you've experienced something, that's kind of crude, but anyway, when you've experienced something, how many understand? Nobody can talk you out of it. If you know the truth, Jesus said, you know the truth, it'll set you free. You know the truth. You all don't care anything I got to say. You just want to know where the hamburger joint's at. I'm not giving them advertisement. Amen. Go to Mark chapter 5. We'll close. You get something today?
Amen.
Mark chapter 5. We'll go there, and then we're going to receive communion. Mark chapter 5. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5. We're just talking about keeping your faith out in front. Let it be out in front of your problems, man. Keep it out front, man.
Right.
Amen. Mark chapter 5. Let's go to verse 25. The Bible says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. How many 12 years is a long time to have anything?
Yeah.
12 years. So this lady's been an issue of blood, a flow of blood, in her, for 12 years from her body, and had suffered many things of many physicians. Now, notice, you know, in those days, you know, some of the things that I've read or heard about the physicians did, and man, it was painful. It was painful. I mean, you know, I mean, today they mitigate the pain as much as possible. My neighbor sent me a picture, well, it was a video of a guy. They were trying to give this guy a shot, man, and he was afraid of needles. And I mean, they just rubbed his arm with alcohol, and he's going, ah! I mean, he's freaking, and you know, and they just touch him, and he freaks out, you know. But in those days, I mean, the things that they did was really painful. And she's been going to a doctor for 12 years, and it says, and she spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. So this tells us she was a rich woman because she's been spending on the doctors for 12 years, right? Well, what about Medicare, Pastor? Medicaid? Well, they didn't have it back then. Right? Well, what about, you know, her copay? Well, they didn't have it. You paid. No co's paid in those days. You paid. And when, but get this, verse 27, when she heard of Jesus. Anybody heard of Jesus? Now, she must have heard something good about him. Right? I mean, if she just heard like, you know, well, you never know what he's going to do. He might heal you and he might not. That's the way some churches preach it today. Come on. But Paul said, don't let anybody preach another Jesus to you. That's what he said. Don't let anybody preach another Jesus to you. So I don't let people preach another Jesus to me. I believe the same Jesus that was in this book that walked the shores of Galilee, I believe he does the same things today he did then. I believe in the same Jesus. Matter of fact, when he went up to heaven, the angel said, this same Jesus be the one to come back. He, Jesus Christ, the
same
yesterday, today, and forever, right? All right. She heard of Jesus. Wonder what she heard of Jesus. She must have heard Jesus will heal you. Right? When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, that doesn't mean like, you know, New York Times press. You know what the word press there, I don't know what the modern translations might say. Crowd. Right? But what it means is the King James, you know, that word press is a really good word, because when you understand what it means even something deeper than a crowd. I mean, it means a crowd, but it's even something deeper. It means they're pressed up against one another. I mean, there's not, you can't, you know, they're bumping into one another. They're that thick around Jesus. So it's more than just a crowd. It's actually a press where they're pressing together. They're pressing up against one another. They're rubbing shoulders, man. And so she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Amplified Bible says she kept saying this. She kept saying this. Now, where did she get this? Where did she get this revelation at? She had heard of Jesus and the healings that were taking place, and that sometimes people just touched him and they were made whole. So she said, if I can do that. Now, what made her think that she could do that? If she'd have been in most churches today, well, a lot of churches today, they would have told her, well, maybe. She didn't get out of bed on maybe. She said, if I can touch him, I will get whole. What did that tell you? She knew he wasn't any respecter of persons. He'd heal everybody. Right? I mean, she wouldn't have risked it. You know, you understand that if you read the Levitical law, it was unlawful for her to be out there in this crowd. And the person that had the authority of the stoner was with Jesus. If you read this story all the way from the beginning there in Mark chapter 5, you'll find out that walking with Jesus was the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus. And he's going to Jesus' house to heal Jesus' daughter. And that's when this woman shows up. And Jairus' daughter, heal Jairus' daughter. Jesus is going there to heal her. And so that's when this woman shows up. And she touches his garment. She stopped the whole process, see. And the Bible says, verse 29, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body. She was healed of that plague. Don't you know that's a great day after 12 years? My goodness. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself, the King James uses the word virtue, but it's the word power. The power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? See, in other words, they're like, what do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. Oh, see, somebody did it in a way that got some power out of Jesus. So there must be a different way to approach the Lord to get power out of him. And verse 32, he looked around about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came down before him and told him all the truth. In other words, now listen now, here's the thing about this. This woman, I don't know, she must have thought, I'm in trouble here. Either she thought, I've taken something I shouldn't have taken, or she thought, oh, I'm going to be exposed that I was out here in public with an issue of blood, and I'm going to be stoned. But Jesus said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I want to read that because I want you to see something. This is a woman, man, that for 12 years suffered many things of many physicians, was bleeding the whole time, couldn't get any better. But when she heard of Jesus, she put her faith out front. Out in front of her problem. And said, if I can touch this man's garment, I shall be made whole. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I believe that too. I'm telling you, I'm 100% on board. If Jesus came in here and I could touch his garment, I'd be made whole. Did you know the Bible says don't say who's going to bring Jesus down from above? Don't say he's going to bring him up from the deep. But what does it say? The word's near you, in your mouth and in your heart. In other words, the same faith this woman used to touch and get virtue power out of the Lord, you can do the same thing today by believing it and saying it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This woman, see, now here's the thing. Now, all right, see, and I've heard people criticize because we say, well, you know, it takes faith to be healed. Oh, my gosh, you're saying if I'm not healed, I don't have faith? No, I didn't say that. You said that, not me. I just told you a fact. Why people aren't healed can be a variety of things. Could be you don't believe. Well, you can't say that. You hurt my feelings. Well, isn't it better to have the truth and your feelings hurt than your feelings intact and not have the truth? And now we've taken criticism over this the years. Oh, I'll tell you, it's just one of those faith bunch. They, you know, they just name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. No, I'm telling you what, God named it. And it won't do any good to claim anything he didn't name. And if he named it, you better claim it because it's your inheritance. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, but what I wanted to point out before we get receive communion this morning is this. That Jesus did not give the credit of the healing to the power that came out of him. Did he? He didn't say, my power hath made you whole. Now, let's just be honest. What did make her whole? Now, wait a minute before you answer. What did make her whole? Well, it was the power, but that's not where Jesus gave the credit. I'm going to tell you why. He gave the emphasis on the faith. Here's the reason why. Because the power is available. That's a given. But she plugged into the power. And he pointed out what caused her to plug into the power when all around him there's a throng pressing up against him. And I guarantee you, you get that many people around, somebody needs healing. Yeah. And yet she's the only one that gets it because she's the only one that plugged in. Amen. Amen. See, it's like your refrigerator. You know, you got to plug it in.
Yes.
Amen. See, you don't talk about, if your refrigerator's not running and it's not plugged in, you don't talk about, oh my, we need power. We need power. Lord, send the power now. Lord, send the power right now. You don't do that. You don't say, oh, what's our energy company right now? Is it still, huh? Okay. See, some of y'all don't know who you're, Center Point. I knew it had changed. It's, all right. My wife's still making the checks out to veterans, so maybe that's why our lights are blinking lately. All right, Center Point. How many know if you bring your refrigerator home and you just got the plug in, you don't just cry, oh, Center Point, Center Point, send the power right now, send the power right now. That's the way Christians do. Oh, if it's your will, Center Point, send power. Well, you dummy, it's already there.
That's right.
We need to magnify and concentrate on something else, plug it in. I was working on some electrical stuff, and I'm not a whiz electrical guy, but I got enough. I can do electrical work some. You don't want me to, probably wouldn't want me to wire your whole house, but part of it I could. Okay, so I'm working on this outlet. It's actually here at church, and I was working on because there was like one switch on these walls, and some of you guys probably remember that because it probably drove you crazy turning off and on for 7 years or whatever long it's been. And it doesn't go anywhere. And I thought, I'm going to pull those out. I'm going to put blank because I was doing something in here. We were replacing the lights in the sanctuary, and I was in here. I said, I'm going to pull those out, man. I'm going to plug that and just so nobody keeps turning that thing off and on and wondering why isn't it working. Because it used to go to some track lights that were in here when we bought the place. Well, I went and shut the breaker off. I've learned to do that now. I used to not do that and thought, well, I better start doing that after, get shocked. I thought, I'm turning the breaker off now. So I turned the breaker off and it kills all those two switches by, there's three, right there. It kills those two. So I'm thinking, I'm good. That other one's killed too. And I reach in there and guess what? It wasn't good. I got a hold of some power, man. It is there. Hallelujah. Oh, well. I'm going to go find some more breakers to turn off. Or if I'm going to turn the whole building off. You know what I'm saying? See, but you have to tap into it, right? It's there. The power is there. That's what Jesus was saying. That's why he didn't say, woman, my power has made you whole. It was true. His power didn't make her whole. Virtue went out of him, right? Power went out of him. And immediately she felt in her body she was healed of that plague. But he didn't talk about the power. He talked about the faith. Because the power is available to whosoever will. Isn't the power for salvation available for whosoever will? I mean, everybody can get saved. You know, we don't have to have some God to come move special and send Jesus to die on the cross again. No, it's there. It's available. But you have to tap into it by your faith. That's why he said to that woman, woman, your faith made you whole. It was your faith that did it. Your faith tapped into the power. She got her faith out in front. 12 years, her problems out in front. But when she heard of Jesus, when she heard of Jesus, she put her faith out in front of her problem. And she put on the shield of faith. Remember we read that in Ephesians. The shield of faith quenches how many of the fiery darts of the devil? All of the fiery darts of the devil. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Come on, get your faith out front. Live strong for Jesus Christ. Live strong for the Bible. Live strong for what you believe out of the Word of God. Be strong about it. Praise God. And God will meet you. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.